If Jesus Christ was returned today, would you be ready to meet him? You know, there's much talk today about the return of Jesus Christ, and one particular individual that many of you may be familiar with that sort of popularized the imminent return of Jesus Christ is Harold Camping. Harold Camping said several years ago that Jesus was going to return in a particular month based on his biblical calculations. I'll never forget meeting one of his cronies in a Walmart parking lot, and we got into a discussion about the return of Christ, and I told this gentleman that the Bible says we're not to set dates. And of course, Harold Camping's prophecy ended up being false. But we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, because the Bible does say that Jesus Christ is going to come back. His return is imminent. And as Christians, we need to be ready and prepared to meet the Lord. And in Romans chapter 13, in verses 8 through 14, the Apostle Paul is challenging the Roman Christians to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. He says to them that, beginning in verse 11, "Do this knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from your sleep. For now, salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. The night is almost gone, and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing, drunkenness, sexual promiscuity, sensuality, strife, or jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lusts." And in this section of Scripture, the Apostle Paul says there are three responses that you and I should have as Christians if we are going to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. First of all, he says we need to wake up. We need to wake up. He says this in verse 11, "Do this knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from your sleep." He's challenging the Christians there that they don't need to be asleep spiritually. They need to be fully awake. They need to be on fire for the Lord. They need to be hungering for the Lord. They need to be engaged in ministry. They need to be engaged in fellowship. They need to be fully alert to the return of Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you, if you are awake spiritually, then keep serving the Lord. Keep following the Lord. But if you are spiritually asleep and you're not following the Lord like you should, I want to challenge you to wake up from your spiritual slumber. Quit hitting the spiritual snooze button. Quit taking spiritual Benadryl. God wants you to be fully awake as you serve and follow him. Well, there's a second response that the Apostle Paul gives to these Christians and to you and I. Not only must we wake up, but secondly, we must clean up. We must clean up. He says this in verses 12 and 13 of Romans 12. "The night is nearly over. The day is almost here." That is, the return of Christ is coming. He says, "So let us put aside the deeds of darkness. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy." He says, not only do we need to wake up, but we need to clean up. That is, we need to put aside the deeds of darkness. Darkness here is a metaphor for sin. And when he says put it aside, he's talking about laying aside filthy garments. You and I are to lay aside sin like we do filthy garments. We're to deal with sin in our life. It's not enough just to say that we're awake spiritually, but we must daily, habitually, and regularly be dealing with sin in our life. And all of us struggle and battle with sin in our life. We have to deal with it on a regular basis. You may struggle with temptations to homosexuality, and if you're a Christian, you know that that's out of bounds. Scripture does not allow for that. You need to put to death those desires, or maybe it's heterosexual sex. Maybe it's premarital sex. You're living with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, or you're dating somebody, and you keep falling into sexual sin. God wants you to lay aside that sin. Maybe it's the sin of complaining that you struggle with. You know, some people are complainers by nature. They seem to grumble at everything. For some of you, it may be overspending. You need to commit to cutting up of your credit cards. You need to deal with overspending in your life. Maybe it's materialism. Maybe it's anger or unforgiveness. Maybe you struggle with that in your life, and God is speaking to you about forgiving that person. Or maybe it's profanity and coarse jesting. You see, we all have these bents and these sins in our life that we need to deal with on a regular basis. I have found that there are some sins in our life that when we come to Jesus Christ, those temptations over time begin to diminish and we may not struggle with certain sins anymore. But then there are other sins that seem to be besetting sins that we struggle with on a regular basis. And we need to remind ourselves that sin's power has been broken in our life and that God wants us to clean up our life, not only at the moment of salvation, but also he wants us to daily deal with sin in our Christian experience. Paul says this in Colossians chapter 3, in verses 5 through 9, he says, put to death, commit spiritual suicide is what he's saying. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. When sin rears its ugly head, he says, kill it, put it to death. Even though sin's power has been broken, and even though sin as a reigning monarch has been dethroned in your life, it's still going to raise its ugly head and you need to kill it. And he gives several sins. He says sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self. Paul is telling these Christians they need to clean up their life by putting to death whatever belongs to their earthly nature. And the reason why is because the wrath of God is coming on these sins. Furthermore, he says you used to once walk in these ways, but now you're a new person because you have put on the old man, or rather put off the old man, and you now are a new man. And so we need to clean up our life if we're going to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. I remember years ago reading about a church that engaged in a New Year's Eve celebration. And they were outside as they were celebrating. And one of the things that the pastor did was he had everybody write on a piece of paper all their sins that they struggled with. And he said, write them out. And then I want you to put them in this basket. And then once the people did, he took all of those pieces of paper with the sins that people struggled with, and he took it to the bonfire that they were surrounding, and he literally threw them in the fire. And it was a symbolic act saying that as we begin this new year, I want you to deal with these sins in your life. And you see, you and I will never get to a point in our Christian experience where we'll never battle sin. There are some Christians that teach entire sanctification, although I don't think that view is as popular today. It basically says that you can reach a point in your Christian life where you don't willfully sin anymore. The Bible doesn't teach that. It does say that sin's power has been broken in my life, and I do have the authority to say no to sin. And the pattern of my life should be righteousness. But we're going to still battle sin on a daily basis. And if I want to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ, not only must I wake up spiritually, but I must also clean up. I must put aside the deeds of darkness, and I must put on the armor of light if I'm going to walk in obedience to the Lord. And you see, the way we do that is we confess our sins on a daily basis, and we say, Lord, I shouldn't have said that. Lord, I shouldn't have done that. Lord, I shouldn't have acted that way towards my spouse. Lord, forgive me for losing my temper. And then we repent of it. And the Bible says when you do that, God forgives you, and you need to walk in harmony and peace with God. Don't condemn yourself on a daily basis. Too often when we blow it, we live under a spirit of condemnation. And the Bible says there is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Now, we may experience guilt, we may experience conviction of sin, and that's normal, that's part of the Holy Spirit's ministry in our life, but once we forsake sin and confess it and seek to repent of it, we need to walk in victory and peace with God. We don't need to live under a cloud of self-condemnation. So if you want to be ready for the return of Christ, you need to wake up. You need to clean up. And finally, Paul says in Romans chapter 13, you need to dress up. You need to dress up. And you see, this is the pattern that you and I engage in. We wake up in the morning, and then we go to the shower, and we clean up. And what do when we get out of the shower? We go to our rooms, we look in the closet, and we dress up. And Paul is saying, as a spiritual analogy, we need to wake up spiritually, we need to clean up, and we also need to dress up. In verses 13 and 14, he says the following: let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. See, that's the negative. He says we need to get rid of that. And then he says this: rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. You see, it's not enough just to clean up our lives and put aside the deeds of darkness. The positive is we are to dress up by putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to cultivate Christ-like character and virtue. And you see, you and I need to put on Jesus Christ daily. We need to dress up like Jesus, not in a literal sense, but rather in a spiritual sense. And you see, the Bible says in Romans 8 that God predestinated us to become like Jesus Christ. And because God predestinated that, what God does in our daily experience is he shapes us into Christ-likeness. And God uses many different things to make us more like his Son. He uses trials. He uses the Word of God. He uses fellowship. He uses the rebuke of other Christians to conform us into the image of Christ. And you see, that's part of the progressive nature of sanctification. That's what it means to put on Jesus Christ. It means to become more like him on a daily basis. I often tell people, I'm not what I used to be, but I'm not where I need to be. Do you see a progressive growth in your life in becoming more like Jesus Christ? I have a friend who struggles with anger. He struggles with a bad temper. And he says, I haven't gotten total victory over it, but he said, I'm not where I used to be 5, 6, 7 years ago. God has changed me. I'm becoming more humble, more meek. I'm beginning to learn how to forgive more and not be as angry. You see, that's putting on Jesus Christ. And you and I put on Jesus Christ at the moment of salvation. We are clothed, according to Galatians chapter 3, in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So positionally, we are like Christ in that we have his righteousness. But then there is that progressive aspect where I need to put on Jesus Christ daily. Some of you need to put him on at the supermarket. When somebody cuts in front of you or a car cuts in front of you, you need to put on Jesus Christ. Don't flare up with your temper. Maybe in your marriage, you need to put on Jesus Christ. You need to be more patient with your spouse. You need to be more humble and say you're sorry when you blow it. You need to be concerned about the needs of your spouse and not just your needs. That's putting on Christ. Putting on Christ for some of you may mean that you need to show up to work on time and you need to put in an honest day's work. Putting on Christ for some of you may mean that you need to cultivate the disciplines of the Spirit, such as getting into the Word of God or finding a local church where you can drive a stake in the ground and say, this is a church that I'm accountable to, where I'm going to worship, where I'm going to get involved and use my gifts. That's putting on Christ. You see, it's not just talking about Jesus Christ. It's literally imbibing Jesus Christ and living his life before other people. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Paul is saying here that one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to transform us into the image of Christ. That's what it means to put on Christ. I was reading about a lady in Iowa who's known as the Butter Cow Lady. She literally makes life-size butter sculptures for the fair each year, and she's known for all of these sculptures that she has carved through butter. She has made images of John Wayne, and recently She has made an image of Tiger Woods with his golf club in his hand. And people come from all over to see this image that she has sculptured with butter. Well, you know, that's exactly what God does. God is literally putting on Jesus Christ in our life by sculpturing us into Christ-likeness. And you see, you and I have to cooperate with God as we walk out this sanctification process. We must daily dress up in the garments of righteousness. I played sports hard when I was in high school. And one of the ways that I had to put on Christ was in my athletics. Because often when I engaged in football, sometimes I would hear the talk of other players. And many of them would say things to me that was very disparaging, and they would try to taunt me. And as a Christian, I had to put on Christ in those situations because in my flesh, I wanted to pop off and say something to the other player. And I would say to myself, Mike, put on Christ. Keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything. And then later on in college, I remember I was tempted to cheat on a particular exam. I took zoology. And I really didn't like the class. You had to learn about all these different species of animals. It was boring to me. And I remember the guy in front of me had his exam exposed and I could see all the answers. And I was so tempted to cheat on that exam. And I said, Mike, you need to put on Jesus Christ here. What would Jesus do? Jesus would be honest in this situation. And so I took the F rather than cheat. And I'd like to tell you that I've always done the right thing, and that's not always the case. There are times where instead of putting on Jesus Christ and dressing up in the garments of righteousness, I have put on the garments of sin. I have gone back to my old ways at times, and I've said things that I shouldn't say. I've done things that I shouldn't have done. And maybe that's your experience. We all struggle with putting on the old garments of sin. But you see, if you and I are going to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ, we need to clothe ourselves with Jesus Christ. And in verse 14, he says, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And part of that means this, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. In other words, don't think of ways that you and I can sin. Stop flirting with sin. Stop going to places that you should not go that's going to lead you into sin. I remember when I committed my life to Christ, I had to make a decision that I was no longer going to go to bars anymore. Because I knew if I went into that environment, I was going to make a provision for the flesh. Are you making a provision for the flesh? Are you hanging out with people that you should not hang out with and they're pulling you down? See, part of putting on the Lord Jesus Christ and clothing ourselves with his righteousness means we don't think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. We don't make provisions for it. We say no to certain relationships because they will pull us down. So the Bible says Jesus Christ is coming back again. His return is imminent. That is the anticipation that we as Christians look forward to. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, we should long for his appearing. Well, how can we be ready for his return? Paul says in Romans 13, there's three ways you and I can be ready. We need to wake up. We need to clean up. And we need to dress up. Would you say you're doing all three of those? Are you awake spiritually? Are you cleaning up your life, dealing with sin, walking in holiness? And are you dressing up with the Lord Jesus Christ, cultivating Christ-like character? If not, I want to encourage you to be ready for his return. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the best way to be ready for the return of Christ is to make sure you're a Christian. And the way you do that is admit you're a sinner, can't save himself or herself, and believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross and rose from the dead. And if you personally receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God will forgive you and give you the gift of eternal life.